This is Jay Sekulow approaching 1,000 days in prison for American pastor Syed Abedini.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Our family learned later that our silence allowed Amir to suffer the worst torture imaginable.
If you were on the sidelines, if you were sitting with the Iranian foreign minister, what would you say? What would you tell them? Please, Ms. Abedin.
I would say no more discussions until first you release the Americans, then we'll talk further.
I can tell you, for me, it would just be ludicrous and outrageous for us to have a deal with Iran that doesn't include the bringing home of our hostages. But it would just be ludicrous for us to pretend it's business as usual. We're going to have a nice agreement with Iran. We're going to look to the future. We're going to have better relations. And we're all going to, hold hands and skip away happily. And Americans are rotting in prison. That is not acceptable to me, and I hope it won't be acceptable to this Congress.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I think this next few weeks is the very crucial time. If we don't get the Americans out, I don't know when we will have more leverage, and I agree with Mr. Levinson that either way, we lose if we don't get the Americans out before an agreement is reached or not reached. We only have a few weeks left, and while we still have leverage, while the Iranian government would still be motivated at some degree to release them.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. This is going to be a very special week, a very important week, of course. As the week begins here, we're seeing the discussion starting again, supposed to be the end of the month, a resolution with the Iranian nuclear deal, the so-called P5 plus one. Meanwhile, Syed Abedini and three other Americans in jail still. And for Syed Abedini, he's approaching his 1,000th day in incarceration. We have a very unique goal we have set, and we are just a little less than 70,000 away from reaching it. We want to deliver, ready for this? 1 million signatures on behalf of the release of Syed and the others. And we're going to give it to the UN, to the State Department. We're going to get it to the right officials. 1 million is the goal. And let me tell you this, we are close. We are at 900. I'm going to get the exact number when we come back from the break, but it's about 930,000 signatures for Syed. We need you to sign this petition because we want that 1,000th day to be not an anniversary of despair, but a celebration of release. Right now, we're exactly at, on our Be Heard list, 970,085. So we are 30,000 away from 1 million signatures. I need you to go to your friends. I need you to sign it. I need you to tell three friends to sign it as well. So it's very important. You can go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign this petition for Syed. We want it at 1 million. 1 million. Before the completion of these talks at the end of this month. And we're going to hopefully get there sooner. So we really need your help. I'd like to accomplish that this week, if possible. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to defend those who can no longer speak for themselves because they're being incarcerated for one reason only. For Syed, it's his faith. For Jason Razian, they say he's a spy because he's a reporter. Amir Hekmati, because he's a United States Marine. Let's fight for this pastor. Let's fight for these Americans. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. You can also go to BeHeardProject.com. That's BeHeardProject.com. Back with more in a moment.
The world is speaking out. Nearly 1 million people have now signed on to our petitions demanding the release of American pastor Saeed Abedini, who remains in an Iranian prison, beaten and abused because of his Christian faith. Next week, Pastor Saeed, a U.S. citizen, will mark 1,000 days in captivity, separated from his wife and children, facing grave danger as the end of June deadline for reaching a nuclear deal with Iran approaches. Now is the time to bring Pastor Saeed and the other Americans home. Stand with us. We're almost there, approaching the 1 million mark. Help us reach 1 million signatures demanding the release of Pastor Saeed. Be heard before it's too late. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. When it was first released last fall, Rise of ISIS skyrocketed to the top, becoming a number one New York Times bestseller. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team revealed the brutality of ISIS, the Islamic State, putting a much-needed spotlight on this real and present danger. Now this best-selling book, Rise of ISIS, has been revised and updated with critical new insight and new analysis. Find out how ISIS continues to expand, to dominate, to unleash unspeakable violence against Christians and others, and find out what needs to be done to stop them. A revised and updated edition of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, is available now at bookstores nationwide. Or you can order a copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Rise of ISIS, available now.
Broadcast, everyone. I want to take you back a little bit here with some special broadcast so you get the kind of the understanding of the hearings we've had, the history of this, to reset it, the situation for Saeed Abedini, because we are a couple weeks away from the ending of these talks, supposedly, and we're approaching 1,000 days of incarceration effective June 23rd. So in just a few days, a week or so. We want to get to a million signatures. We need your help on this, folks. It's easy to do. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let's stand for Saeed. This is the week. It counts, folks. It's always counted, but it really counts right now. We're going to get to 1 million signatures. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
What I went in there to do was tell the State Department, we're playing for keeps here. Now, when they ask a family member of Saeed Abedini to do something, fill out a form, then when he goes to fill out that form in Iran, his penalty is not $50 if you don't fill out the form correctly under penalty of perjury. It could be the death penalty himself. So they were asking ridiculous and unnecessary activities from family members. And that's what I had to stop. I had to get a focus in that meeting as to what the government should be concentrating on. And that was asking for his release.
But it was a good meeting. Ambassador Cook is going to be personally involved from here on, and the Bureau of DLR has assured us that they're going to be working on the case, which has not been the case in the past. So that's a big victory, and we're going to hold them to it.
Ultimately, that led to bigger things. That led to eventually, they may not have showed up at a congressional hearing, but ultimately, President Obama was making remarks about it. Secretary of State John Kerry was making remarks about it. So ultimately, they did start speaking out.
You had the President of the United States and the first phone call with a senior representative of Iran, in that particular case, a direct call with the President of Iran, and President Obama asked for the release of Saeed Abedini. John Kerry called for the release of Saeed Abedini by name. So at that point, I think it's fair to say that our meeting with the State Department gave direct results. Now, it has not been the end result, which is getting him free, but it did bring about a change of position and a public advocacy now, not just by us, but by the United States government.
We pray for Pastor Saeed Abedini. He's been held in Iran for more than 18 months. Sentenced to 8 years in prison on charges relating to his Christian beliefs. And as we continue to work for his freedom today, again, we call on the Iranian government to release Pastor Abedini so he can return to the loving arms of his wife and children in Idaho.
As a pastor, I am very concerned for Saeed Abedini because they have beaten him and tortured him to try to get him to recant his faith in Jesus Christ, because he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Christ died for our sins on the cross, that he shed his blood, that he was raised from the dead. He believes this. And they have beaten him and tortured him to try to force him to turn his back on his Savior, and he won't do it. And the president and this administration have not done what they should be doing to get him out.
The subcommittees will come to order, and this is an important meeting of two subcommittees, the Subcommittee on Africa, Global Health, Global Human Rights, and International Organizations, and Subcommittee on Middle East and North Africa.
You know, we started back in March at the Lantos Commission, and now here we are months later, the United States in an unprecedented move that we did not predict or could not predict then, is now sitting with Iran. At such a critical juncture, with the U.S. government literally sitting across the table from Iran, we could never have imagined that that would occur when we first testified before the Lantos Commission in March. At the table, for the first time in 34 years, we need to ensure that Pastor Saeed and the other Americans mentioned here today, wrongfully detained, are seen as not a marginal issue, but an essential of those ongoing diplomatic talks. Pastor Saeed has exhausted all legal remedies in Iran to appeal this arbitrary conviction and his detention. His freedom now rests solely on the success of diplomatic efforts by the United States government and world leaders dedicated to human rights. And just to highlight again that while our government sat across the table from the Iranian delegation, Saeed was transferred to a worse prison.
When I spoke in front of the Tom Lantos Human Rights Commission in March of this year, I had anticipated that I would battle the Iranian government for my husband's freedom. I never anticipated that I would also have to battle my own government, and that the journey would become even much more difficult than it had been. His parents, when they visit him in prison, they say that when they hold the pictures of the kids in front of him, he just cries. And he wrote in a letter, he said, "It is so hard and so heartbreaking for me to see these pictures and to know that I'm not there beside you as you grow. I came here to help the kids that did not have mommies and daddies, but my own kids lost their daddy. This breaks my heart so much. I want you to know that I did not want to put so much pressure on your little shoulders, my precious children."
Zebedee, thank you so very much for those powerful words. And that testimony is just, I think it causes every one of us to redouble our efforts and do everything possible to ensure that your husband is released immediately. Thank you so very much.
And a lot of times when there was a different table and this room was different and the table was here, our dad used to be here swinging us in circles. And that was our that's our favorite part.
Well, me and my brother and my dad were in the playroom at November 11, 2009. And we were just taking pictures there, and Jacob was 1 year old and I was three.
My favorite page is this one, because my dad's holding me and it's been a long time since he did.
Today marks a day of both sorrow and hope. Sorrow for the 2 years that Pastor Saeed Abedini has languished in an Iranian prison, and hope for his release.
2 years, that's how long U.S. citizen Saeed Abedini has been imprisoned in Iran.
Saeed's only crime, his Christian faith.
For 2 years, Saeed has been held captive in a foreign land.
But 2 years, his wife has been without a husband.
And for 2 years, Saeed's two young children have been without a father.
2 years of missed birthdays, anniversaries, and other events.
I ask all of you to join me today in calling again for Saeed's release and safe return home.
There's absolutely nothing that's going to bring those 2 years back to Saeed's family.
There is nothing that will bring those 2 years back, but enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
It's time to bring Saeed Abedini home.
This injustice has continued for far too long.
It's time.
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 When we were doing the Save Saeed campaign, we really came in every morning to the office and said, what can we do today? Who can we call today? And we basically started reaching out to people that we knew personally and said, hey, could you come in? Can you do a video for Saeed? Can you help out? Can you tweet for Saeed? Can you post on your social media for Saeed? And what we found is we found a great group of individuals who had large social outreach, thousands and thousands of Twitter followers, thousands of Facebook followers, and they were all coming in and willing to lend their voice for Saeed.
Your signature could save a life.
Save Saeed.
Save Saeed.
Save Saeed. Would you please save Saeed?
Save Saeed.
Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
What we saw was we had so many people that wanted to get involved. We had so many people that cared about this story that we eventually grew that petition to over 600,000 names. Every day we would come in and the number would just keep rolling and keep rolling. And we saw how passionate people were about this story. And that's when we knew that we needed to start Be Heard Project. That's when we knew that we needed a specific place to amplify these stories and get them out there on social media.
We're going to be back with more in just a moment, but folks, let me encourage you. We need your help. Saeed Abedini needs your help. We want to get to 1 million signatures. We're a little over 970,000 right now, 30,000 away. I want to make sure we're there. I would like to be there on the 23rd of June because that's the 1,000th day of imprisonment, and I'd like to have 1 million signatures on that 1,000th day. So go to aclj.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. But folks, share this with your friends. You can share it online. Get your if everyone that's listening to me were to sign this and get three friends to sign it, we make our goal. Easily. aclj.org. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
Just to think how far some people will listen. And what is now has
been. When it was first released last fall, Rise of ISIS skyrocketed to the top, becoming a number one New York Times bestseller. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team revealed the brutality of ISIS, the Islamic State, putting a much needed spotlight on this real and present danger. Now this best-selling book, Rise of ISIS, has been revised and updated with critical new insight and new analysis. Find out how ISIS continues to expand, to dominate, to unleash unspeakable violence against Christians and others, and find out what needs to be done to stop them. A revised and updated edition of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, is available now at bookstores nationwide. Or you can order a copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Rise of ISIS, available now. The world is speaking out. Nearly 1 million people have now signed on to our petitions demanding the release of American pastor Saeed Abedini, who remains in an Iranian prison, beaten and abused because of his Christian faith. Next week, Pastor Saeed, a U.S. citizen, will mark 1,000 days in captivity, separated from his wife and children, facing grave danger as the end of June deadline for reaching a nuclear deal with Iran approaches. Now is the time to bring Pastor Saeed and the other Americans home. Stand with us. We're almost there, approaching the 1 million mark. Help us reach 1 million signatures demanding the release of Pastor Saeed. Be heard before it's too late. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I want to take you back a little bit here with some special broadcast so you get the kind of the understanding of the hearings we've had, the history of this, to reset it, the situation for Saeed Abedini, because we are a couple weeks away from the ending of these talks, supposedly. And we're approaching 1,000 days of incarceration effective June 23rd. So in just a few days, a week or so. We want to get to a million signatures. We need your help on this, folks. It's easy to do. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let's stand for Saeed. This is the week. It counts, folks. It's always counted, but it really counts right now. We're going to get to 1 million signatures. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
Whatever anybody thinks of the United Nations, the fact of the matter, it's an international tribunal that exists, that has influence, and you have to understand how to negotiate it. So we fought years ago to become a non-governmental organization, an NGO, with the United Nations through our office in Europe, our European Center for Law and Justice in Strasbourg, France. And we did that at the time dealing with issues of what I would call religious discrimination. And then, of course, when the religious persecution issues developed, really since 9/11, at this significance, they've always been there, but at this significance, we were able to utilize our status to become advocates at the UN. And we've made multiple interventions on multiple cases with multiple lawyers from multiple countries.
The ECLJ would like to bring to the Council's attention the ongoing human rights violation by the Islamic Republic of Iran in the case of Saeed Abedini, who is currently imprisoned for peaceful private expression of his religion. Saeed was arrested and during his visit in Iran to build a government-endorsed orphanage. And though he was tried and convicted as a national security offense, the basis of his crime was his peaceful association and expression with members of his religious community in private homes.
But when Nagmeh inserts herself into the United Nations, she has personalized it. For them, they can ignore a statistic. They can't ignore the face of somebody who's been persecuted.
For nearly a year, the government of the Islamic Republic of Iran has tried to silence my husband, Saeed Abedini, through illegal imprisonment, torture, and threats against our family. Why is he being held? Because he exercised his rights of religious freedom, expression, and peaceful assembly. This past week and today, this council has called on member states to recognize and uphold these fundamental freedoms. I hope that my presence here today will put a face to those who suffer when a government does not uphold its obligation to protect these freedoms.
Part of the advocacy is, again, it's building that historical record, but it's also being a voice for people who have no voice inside their own country. And then what we can do as a size of organization like we are at the ACLJ, with the voices we're able to put together, when we combine all of our voices and everybody out there who joins our petitions and signs on, shares that with their friends and family and talks about it in church, we can take a government who is not used to having to deal with a strong Christian community, like Iran or Sudan or, you know, the list goes on, Pakistan. And suddenly it's not just their Christian community, now it's the whole world.
So it's a multi-pronged attack. I mean, when you're talking about advocacy, we have media advocacy. You use radio, television, there's social media advocacy, which is becoming huge, Facebook, Twitter, other forms of social advocacy, social media advocacy. And then of course it's advocacy in the tribunals. Most of these cases end up at the United Nations or some form of United Nations oversight. So you advocate as lawyers or government affairs professionals at the UN.
So the European Center for Law and Justice is accredited at the United Nations, which allows us really incredible opportunity to do what we call multilateral negotiations with countries. So you have situations where maybe the United States or countries in Europe don't have diplomatic relation, but other countries do. So it's an avenue to advocate for both an issue and specific cases, to engage with countries that we wouldn't otherwise have access to ask them to intervene, to step in, to uphold the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It's a very invaluable opportunity, one that not everyone gets.
At the ACLJ, we always try to engage these cases in a number of ways. Two of the ones that are the most important, of course, the legal side. That's what we do best. We are legal advocates for these victims of religious persecution. Syed Abedini, we legally represent the Abedini family in all matters that pertain to the case. But there's another component of this. There's telling the story. At the ACLJ, we try to merge those two things.
Signing petitions is a huge thing because you get attention to a cause when you can say, we have 600,000 people we've heard from. Now, that what that does allows us to amplify their voice. So it's not just one person speaking in Iowa. It's 600,000 people speaking literally from coast to coast and sometimes from around the globe. So petition signing, petition engagement is a way to express your opinion.
We have a very large reach thanks to our members of people who are engaged in these issues, people who care about these cases. And so more than just doing the legal work, we can also tell the story. We can also reach millions of people with these stories so that they can in turn make a difference.
But we've also encouraged people to talk directly with their members of Congress, directly with their members of the United States Senate, with government leaders. We've asked them to call the White House. These are the things you do. We also do briefs. So when we file an intervention at the United Nations, we will say we're representing 300,000 people or 600,000 people, and that has a big impact.
Petitions are very important, especially to motivate governments to move, and that speaks very powerfully to our government, both at the congressional level and the executive level with our State Department.
In all of these cases, there's a role for us to play. In the case of Syed Abedini, we represent the Abedini family. In some of these other cases, like Miriam Ibrahim, we do not represent the family, and yet there's a role for us to play. We have raised the visibility of Miriam's case, and the result in that case was a very good one. In the case of Syed Abedini, there are others who have come alongside us and assisted us as we represent the Abedini family. So no matter the case, there is always a role for each of us to play, and if we're going to achieve results, we've got to make sure that all of us are stepping up and doing what we can.
Our leaders need to be continuously putting the names of these imprisoned Christians who are peaceable people, they didn't cause any problems in their society, are imprisoned because of their faith, because of their religious beliefs. Our leaders need to be keeping their names before the American people and before the world and before the leaders of Iran and other countries.
Folks, your voice was heard. That's an understatement. Jordan, what's the latest?
Big thank you to so many of you who have spoken out, because President Obama is going to be meeting with Nagme and her children when he's in the hometown of the Abedini family, Saeed's hometown as well, of Boise, Idaho. But that is happening this afternoon.
Well, folks, I want to let you know exactly here what's happening. 105,000 of you signed on to this letter to the president. A lot of you made phone calls as well. And God's timing, we now have a meeting this afternoon between the president of the United States, the commander-in-chief, President Obama, and Nagme Abedini.
You know, it's actually a lot of energy outside as people, the line is long, people are excited, everyone we talked to, and then there was a rally for the Abedini family. Nagme, as we know now, is going to meet with the president prior to a speech about her husband, Syed, and there was a rally outside, a rather large one, actually. A lot of people came out in support of Syed and being able to free him from the Iranian prison.
We're going to be back with more in just a moment, but folks, let me encourage you. We need your help. Syed Abedini needs your help. We want to get to 1 million signatures. We're a little over 970,000 right now, 30,000 away. I want to make sure we're there. I would like to be there on the 23rd of June, because that's the 1,000th day of imprisonment, and I'd like to have 1 million signatures on that 1,000th day. So go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. But folks, share this with your friends. You can share it online. Get your friend. If everyone that's listening to me were to sign this and get three friends to sign it, we make our goal. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
Now is the time to bring Pastor Syed and the other Americans home. Stand with us. We're almost there, approaching the 1 million mark. Help us reach 1 million signatures demanding the release of Pastor Syed. Be heard before it's too late. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Talking about freedom. Talking about
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I want to take you back a little bit here with some special broadcast so you get the kind of the understanding of the hearings we've had, the history of this, to reset it, the situation for Saeed Abedini, because we are a couple weeks away from the ending of these talks, supposedly, and we're approaching 1,000 days of incarceration effective June 23rd, so in just a few days, a week or so. We want to get to a million signatures. We need your help on this, folks. It's easy to do. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let's stand for Saeed. This is the week. It counts, folks. It's always counted, but it really counts right now. We're going to get to 1 million signatures. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
Mrs. Abedini.
Thank you, Chairman Royce, Ranking Member Deutsch, and over 917,000 individuals who have signed petitions for the release of my husband, who've surrounded our family with their prayer and support. And I am thankful for State Department for speaking to Iran on the sidelines, and for the president who has spoken out and also gave me an opportunity for the kids and I to meet with him in January of this year. But as Mr. Rezaian mentioned, it's time to bring Saeed home. I've been before the Human Rights Committee and our Foreign Relations Committee a few times. And I just think about 3 years ago when I was so hopeful that maybe this hearing will bring him home, maybe this something will happen. And I'm really hoping that this will be it. I stand before you today, I'm not as a lawyer or a politician. I'm actually very scared of speaking in public. But as a wife of a husband who's in prison in Iran because of his Christian faith. And the only reason I put myself out there and speak is to bring my husband home and to bring the father of my children home. Saeed is an American citizen who was sentenced to 8 years. As mentioned, the Iranian government has said they would add on more years because he refuses to deny his Christian faith. He's been in the Iranian prison for his Christian faith and for gathering with other believers 13 years earlier under a different president who was actually allowing it. And again, this is protected by Iranian law. But Iranian government has said that peaceful gathering of religious minorities is a threat to their national security. Every day I wake up with an excruciating pain. As I understand, many of the families wake up, life is no longer carefree. You wake up with a pain. Most mornings I wake up in a hotel room or I'm in airports, and I wake up to the reality of our life. And my children have had to go without a father and a mother for 3 years now. It's very difficult to try to choose between being at home with my children when they need me the most and as they're hurting and they want to hold on to at least one parent, and trying to advocate for my husband. I think this next few weeks is the very crucial time. If we don't get the Americans out, I don't know when we will have more leverage. And I agree with Mr. Levinson that either way we lose if we don't get the Americans out before an agreement is reached or not reached. We only have a few weeks left, and while we still have leverage, while the Iranian government would still be motivated at some degree to release them. As the family members have said, they're being held on bogus charges. There's no evidence. They're being held because they're Americans or because of their freedom of practice, freedom of speech and religion. And so I think this is a very crucial time.
We're going to be back with more in just a moment. But folks, let me encourage you. We need your help. Saeed Abedini needs your help. We want to get to 1 million signatures. We're a little over 970,000 right now, 30,000 away. I want to make sure we're there. I would like to be there on the 23rd of June because that's the 1,000th day of imprisonment. And I'd like to have 1 million signatures on that 1,000th day. So go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. But folks, share this with your friends. ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
The world is speaking out. Nearly 1 million people have now signed on to our petitions demanding the release of American pastor Saeed Abedini, who remains in an Iranian prison, beaten and abused because of his Christian faith. Next week, Pastor Saeed, a U.S. citizen, will mark 1,000 days in captivity, separated from his wife and children, facing grave danger as the end of June deadline for reaching a nuclear deal with Iran approaches. Now is the time to bring Pastor Saeed and the other Americans home. Stand with us. We're almost there, approaching the 1 million mark. Help us reach 1 million signatures demanding the release of Pastor Saeed. Be heard before it's too late. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. When it was first released last fall, Rise of ISIS skyrocketed to the top, becoming a number one New York Times bestseller. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team revealed the brutality of ISIS, the Islamic State, putting a much-needed spotlight on this real and present danger. Now this best-selling book, Rise of ISIS, has been revised and updated with critical new insight and new analysis. Find out how ISIS continues to expand, to dominate, to unleash unspeakable violence against Christians and others, and find out what needs to be done to stop them. A revised and updated edition of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, is available now at bookstores nationwide. Or you can order a copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Rise of ISIS, available now.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I want to take you back a little bit here with some special broadcast so you get the kind of the understanding of the hearings we've had, the history of this, to reset it, the situation for Saeed Abedini, because we are a couple weeks away from the ending of these talks, supposedly. And we're approaching 1,000 days of incarceration effective June 23rd. So in just a few days, a week or so. We want to get to a million signatures. We need your help on this, folks. It's easy to do. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let's stand for Saeed. This is the week. It counts, folks. It's always counted, but it really counts right now. We're going to get to 1 million signatures, aclj.org, or 1-877-989-2255.
But first, our world lead, a man in prison who may feel as if he's forgotten, but he has not been forgotten by his friends and family. But hopefully, he's also not been forgotten by his government.
Has the president been kept apprised of his situation?
I don't have a statement. I'll have to take the question. You know, the president is obviously updated on a variety of issues with regards to Iran, but I don't have anything specific for you on that.
There's always a reaction that you kind of say when you hear about something like this, like Saeed's situation, and you get involved in it, and he's been arrested and put under house arrest for being a Christian. You want to kind of jump, and you have this reactionary feeling that, okay, I need to jump to the news. I need to tell the news.
Anytime you get a case where there's either a death penalty or the equivalent of a death penalty for someone being persecuted for their faith, you need time to analyze the situation and also work intergovernmentally. In other words, we needed to find out what the United States State Department, in Saeed Abedini's case, what they were willing to do. How far would the State Department go in seeking his release? What international agencies they would bring to bear on his situation? That takes time. Timing is very important in all of these cases.
Saeed's situation, we really did wait as long as possible to try and get it resolved before going public. And what we have a balance. The balance is this. Is it going to put them at more risk by going public? Or are we at a point now where there's so much risk that going public may be the only reason they stay alive? And to this day, I think that the only reason Saeed Abedini hasn't been killed in prison and is still the possibility of coming home is because we decided to go public when we did.
It was a very difficult decision to go public. We waited 3 months from the day he was physically taken, which anyone wants to immediately call media and say, my husband's gone, we don't know where he is, but we waited, we were patient, and we wanted to try other avenues before going forward.
And we went public because Saeed was being tortured, because he was being beaten, and we knew that although that would corner the Iranian government into having to find a solution very publicly, it also could potentially protect him from those beatings, from that torture.
It was right before Christmas of 2012 that we knew he had a court date. Once you get a court date in the revolutionary court system, you're going to be found guilty. The question is, how long will your sentence be, and will it be a death sentence, and what happens next? So we knew we had to go public.
And welcome back to Hannity. A 32-year-old American pastor, the Reverend Saeed Abedini, has been detained by one of Iran's most notorious prisons since late September for charges that have not been made public, other than the fact that he is a convert Christian.
Concerns are growing for an American pastor who remains locked up inside an Iranian prison. His alleged crime? He's a Christian.
Well, for Christmas, this should be the most joyous time of the year, but one American family is spending the season fighting to get a pastor freed from prison, 32-year-old Reverend Saeed Abedini.
Jay, not very different from what we see happening. Coptic Christians are being persecuted in Egypt.
Right.
A lot of Christians in the Muslim world, this is not uncommon. It's happening more and more, as a matter of fact, as we see the rise of radicalism.
Well, I heard about it on the media, like most Americans, and I was just appalled and shocked. But I also thought, well, with this media attention, he'll be getting out of jail soon. They're bound to release him. Why would they want this bad publicity? But it just doesn't seem to affect the Iranians. It's like they don't care.
Let's talk about this pastor who remains in jail. He's being held there simply by the fact that he's a Christian?
That's basically it. Pastor Saeed is 32 years old. He's been in the worst prison, the most notorious prison in Tehran, Evin prison, since September.
And so it's been very difficult, and especially during Christmas time, there is a big hole in our family.
An Iranian-American pastor imprisoned in Iran is set to go on trial January 21st.
Although he has been in custody since September, the criminal charges that he faces date back to the year 2000. That's when Abedini converted from Islam to Christianity. An act which carries the death sentence in Iran.
What is known about the judge or judges, David Lee?
Well, this judge has been called one of Iran's hanging judges.
This is another example of Muslims persecuting Christians. It happened in Egypt. It happened in Nigeria. It's happened all over that area. And you got to stop
it. As for Abedini, he remains steadfast and says he is prepared to hang for his faith in Jesus. His supporters are urging Washington to do more to pressure Iran to set him free.
Well, this sounds very ominous. An American pastor from Idaho disappears from a jail in Iran.
Now, the pastor's family says that he is missing.
This Thursday, they went to the prison and he was not there. They don't know where he is. As of now, there was no notice, and we're hoping to be able to find out where he is soon.
Jordan, either it's a bureaucratic mess up, or they're incompetent, or they have done something sinister.
I think with Iran, you assume the worst, but you hope for the best.
Saeed was charged and convicted of attempting to undermine the national security of the Islamic Republic of Iran by his work with what was called illegal gatherings back in the early 2000s.
That, by the way, is typically what these governments will do, because they view a Christian as a national security threat. Now, we look at that in the West and say that's absolutely absurd. So the initial charge in any of these cases is usually focused on an issue of national security.
The illegal gatherings that they thought were going to overthrow the government were house churches that were legal. He had no legal problems then, you know. So over a decade ago, he wasn't getting arrested there. He wasn't getting in trouble. He was a convert from Islam and had a Christian wedding in Iran that was government okayed. It got the, you know, normal government approval for a wedding. The family ultimately left Iran and returned back to Nagmeh's home in the United States. But his charge and his conviction is being a national security threat to Iran, and the act there, what he did to become that national security threat, was being a Christian.
We found out over the weekend we were asked to participate, as well as Nagmeh Abedini, Pastor Saeed's wife, in a hearing before the Tom Lantos Human Rights Commission, which is completely bipartisan in the House of Representatives. Many of the members of this commission, including the two co-chairs, were part of the bipartisan letter last month to Secretary Kerry asking him to do more. So this is not a Republican-Democrat issue, but instead really Congress and who's doing everything they can, but the administration who's been ignoring them. So we're going to actually be able to testify to present Saeed's case to the House of Representatives, to the commission. And also, the State Department's been invited to participate, so they will also be there and subject to the questioning of these members of Congress who have asked for more.
What is really significant when you've got an individual who is facing a death penalty or life imprisonment in these prisons in these countries, which is effectively a death penalty, is to bring the facts of their case to bear and show the human side of what the real consequences of inaction on our government's behalf would result in. And that's what you do at congressional hearings.
The hearing will begin. I want to thank all of you for being here today to discuss the worsening plight of religious minorities in Iran.
Just by way of example, Nagmeh Abedini got to appear before the Tom Lantos Human Rights Commission to advocate for her husband's freedom. That was a way that we could be a nexus between the people who signed our petition that were advocating for Saeed's release and members of Congress who wanted to do something but didn't necessarily know what to do. We were able to put those two things together. We were able to have this hearing where Nagmeh went and advocated for her husband's freedom. And as a result of that hearing, more people know the name Saeed Abedini than any other case of religious persecution around the world today.
Just so the commission understands, we've heard from over 500,000 people, actually 512,537 people in just a few weeks that are concerned about his situation.
Actor Woody Allen once said that 80% of success is showing up. Yet even after requesting only 20 minutes of their time for testimony and questions, the Department of State remained unresponsive and ultimately said no. Unfortunately, this is hardly an exception. There's been a disappointment on human rights. This is the second hearing in less than a year that the commission has convened to highlight human rights abuses in particular countries, abuses which have resulted in the imprisonment of an American citizen. In both cases, the administration seemed disinterested at best. More broadly speaking, there seems to be an inherent bias in the State Department sometimes on these issues that dealing with the issue of faith.
We're going to be back with more in just a moment. But folks, let me encourage you. We need your help. Saeed Abedini needs your help. We want to get to 1 million signatures. We're a little over 970,000 right now. 30,000 away. I want to make sure we're there. I would like to be there on the 23rd of June because that's the 1,000th day of imprisonment. And I'd like to have 1 million signatures on that 1,000th day. So go to ACLJ.org. or call us at 1-877-989-2255. But folks, share this with your friends. You can share it online. Get your friend. If everyone that's listening to me were to sign this and get three friends to sign it, we make our goal. Easily. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
When it was first released last fall, Rise of ISIS skyrocketed to the top, becoming a number one New York Times bestseller. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team revealed the brutality of ISIS, the Islamic State, putting a much-needed spotlight on this real and present danger. Now this best-selling book, Rise of ISIS, has been revised and updated with critical new insight and new analysis. Find out how ISIS continues to expand, to dominate, to unleash unspeakable violence against Christians and others, and find out what needs to be done to stop them. A revised and updated edition of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, is available now at bookstores nationwide, or you can order a copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Rise of ISIS, available now. The world is speaking out. Nearly 1 million people have now signed on to our petitions demanding the release of American pastor Saeed Abedini, who remains in an Iranian prison, beaten and abused because of his Christian faith. Next week, Pastor Saeed, a U.S. citizen, will mark 1,000 days in captivity, separated from his wife and children, facing grave danger as the end of June deadline for reaching a nuclear deal with Iran approaches. Now is the time to bring Pastor Saeed and the other Americans home. Stand with us. We're almost there, approaching the 1 million mark. Help us reach 1 million signatures demanding the release of Pastor Saeed. Be heard before it's too late. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I want to take you back a little bit here with some special broadcast so you get the kind of the understanding of the hearings we've had, the history of this, to reset it, the situation for Saeed Abedini, because we are a couple weeks away from the ending of these talks, supposedly. And we're approaching 1,000 days of incarceration effective June 23rd. So in just a few days, a week or so. We want to get to a million signatures. We need your help on this, folks. It's easy to do. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let's stand for Saeed. This is the week. It counts, folks. It's always counted, but it really counts right now. We're going to get to 1 million signatures. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
We've had some dialogue with the State Department over the last several months, and I will be honest, Mr. Chairman, it has not been pleasant. The lack of concern, the lack of engagement has been problematic in our work to free Pastor Saeed Abedini. The problem in his case is that the State Department is AWOL. They are absent without leave. They are missing. They did not show up today. They did not show up at the United Nations. They act as if they are embarrassed about Mr. Abedini's faith. Rather, all 27 EU countries at the United Nations called for the release of Pastor Saeed Abedini. The United States was silent.
Yesterday morning, as Nagma Abedini was boarding a flight to Washington, D.C., she received a call from the desk officer at Near Eastern Affairs. This is at the U.S. State Department. The desk officer that on the first day she called, within 24 hours of her husband being arrested by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, told her on the phone, "There is nothing the United States government can do for you." When that desk officer made the comment, someone from the Department of International Religious Affairs, who works for Ambassador Susan Johnson Cook, tried to break in. This desk officer cut them off, said, "I have authority. There's nothing we can do to help. You can keep us updated with the facts if you like." She received the same phone call from that desk officer moments before boarding a plane, after we have informed the U.S. State Department and this officer specifically to stop contacting the client we represent as her attorneys, as the family's attorneys, without us on the phone, did it moments before her flight, and said, you've never asked us for help. You've never asked us for help. Your attorneys may have communicated. You may have been on those phone calls even. But you've never asked us for help. As you can see now, they knew this hearing was about to happen and are trying to cover their tracks.
And I think the State Department's refusal to appear before this committee today is extremely troubling and, frankly, offensive. It's offensive, and I look at it first from a legal standpoint. Sure, it's offensive from a legal standpoint. But it's offensive to Nagma Abedini, the wife of this pastor. And if his children were old enough to understand the scope of what was going on, it would be offensive to them as well. That their government, the State Department, snubbed this commission, and that cannot be seen as anything less than a wanton disregard to stand up and speak out for someone who cannot speak out for himself right now. And I also believe it reveals a stunning lack of concern for protecting human rights and religious freedom. The failure to appear today and to testify, frankly, is inexcusable.
On July 28th, he was taken off a bus by the Revolutionary Guard. He was put under house arrest for 2 months. I remember our kids would continually be able to hear his voice and see him on the computer on Skype. And the day he was taken, and we didn't know where he was for a week, they kept coming to the computer and saying, "Mommy, can we see Daddy? Can we hear his voice?" And I kept saying, "No, we can't." You know, I couldn't explain to them why that he was physically taken to prison. And finally, they kept saying, "Does Daddy not love us anymore? Does Daddy not want to hear our voice anymore?" And I had to tell them that he was in prison because he loved Jesus. And that he loved them very much. And he was looking for the day to come back and tuck him into bed. Our family nightmare began in September of 2012. And we've been fighting for his freedom since. As mentioned earlier, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "Silence in the face of evil in itself is evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." I must say I'm disappointed with our government. I'm disappointed that our president and our State Department has not fully engaged in this case. Disappointed that this great country is not doing more to free my husband, a U.S. citizen. I expect more from our government. But I'm hoping and I'm asking for help. It was told that I have not asked directly for help, but I've pleaded many times. Many times I've asked the U.S. government to do whatever it can to free my husband from that prison simply because he converted from Islam to Christianity and he's a Christian. And his human right is being broken and is being violated. And we, our family needs your help. Our family needs your support.
But I just want to thank all of the five witnesses, you know, particularly I appreciate, you know. But the commission will stay with this thing until the release takes place.
They were absent without leave. They were AWOL. And that was a message not only to the Congress, but it was also a message to Nagmay Abedini. And it was frankly a message to our members around the world that the United States government wouldn't travel 2.3 miles down the road to testify to Congress. Now, the truth of the matter is, they got a lot of flack for that. And the end result of that was a significant high-level meeting. But their not showing up became a global concern.
When Nagmay Abedini and Jay and Jordan went before the committee and publicly asked the State Department to do, there was a shift in how they responded. They really had no choice. When the wife of the person who is in prison comes forward and says, my husband's case would be benefited with public attention, with the attention of the United States government on it, they really had no choice but to take that approach. The simple fact is that this hearing shows our system really does work when people speak out. I mean, during the course of a two and a half hour hearing with just a couple of witnesses, we went from a situation where the State Department didn't even send someone a few blocks down the street to appear at the hearing to a point where they were actually scrambling to meet with Nagmay Abedini. The chairman of the committee got a phone call during the hearing asking for a meeting with Nagmay later that afternoon. So the bottom line is, the system works. If enough people speak out and we amplify their voice, results do happen.
We're going to be back with more in just a moment. But folks, let me encourage you. We need your help. Said Abedini needs your help. We want to get to 1 million signatures. We're a little over 970,000 right now. 30,000 away. I want to make sure we're there. I would like to be there on the 23rd of June because that's the 1,000th day of imprisonment. And I'd like to have 1 million signatures on that 1,000th day. So go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. But folks, share this with your friends. You can share it online. Get your friend. If everyone that's listening to me were to sign this and get three friends to sign it, we make our goal. Easily. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
We're condemned for just believing. I can't stand to see this evil anymore. No, I can't stand this evil anymore.
Now is the time to bring Pastor Saeed and the other Americans home. Stand with us. We're almost there, approaching the 1 million mark. Help us reach 1 million signatures demanding the release of Pastor Saeed. Be heard before it's too late. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.